You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Man, I hope you're all excited about these messages. And yeah, sometimes we just roll things around the other way, you know. I just do, right? It's cool just listening to God, and He will do what He wants to do. Amen. And 11 people giving their lives to Jesus already in this sermon. I say God's on fire, and something good's going to happen today. So I started this sermon series, Risk, a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to continue with that today. If you're new, we want you to know that we're not a church that wears a helmet, okay? We're not a helmet-wearing church. And what I mean by that is we're not the church that you find at the playground wearing a helmet. We don't do that, all right? What we do is we want to live life, all right? We want to take a little risk. We want to step out in faith. And I like to say we have ambitious faith. Faith that's so ambitious to believe that everything God says He'll do, He will do it. If God promised me something, I'm going to do everything He says, no matter how crazy it seems, to lay a hold of and to receive what God has promised me. We don't wear helmets. We don't wander around worrying, oh, the devil might come today. The devil gonna have a bad day if he comes at our church, all right? We're more worried about him needing first aid when he's done with us than us wearing a helmet, all right? We're a church of ambitious faith. We're not afraid to take a little bit of risk. And we've been talking about that in our church, how there is incredible wonder and blessing that awaits us on the other side of a little bit of risk or a step of faith. Now, for me, risk has always been part of my life, from childhood through adolescence, even now in adulthood. It's not that I have not had any fear. I have and I do, but I've always been able to see the great reward that waits for me on the other side. And it's funny, it's like I've always known that God has great plans for my life, and I've always known that God will look after me, and I've always believed that if God promised me something, that it's going to happen. Now, the problem with that is, or not a problem, just the what a young man might tend to do is maybe take a little bit of advantage of that. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Young men can take risks because they think they're invincible. I want to tell you, so far in my life, I have actually proved that I'm invincible. And it's true. None of you can prove right now that I'm not invincible, right? And people say, I can. I'm like, well, do it. And there's the proof, right? I'm still alive. You have all proved so far that you're invincible, am I right? Now, as a young man, we tend to lay a little hold of that, and we can make some decisions that perhaps we would stop doing when we get older. I might have misused my faith in God a little bit. I remember one day getting kicked off the school bus. I don't know how old I was, sometime in high school, which in Australia, that's basically from year 7 through to year 12. You guys have like all these weird words you use to describe that. In Australia, we're pretty basic people. It's called 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all right? So one of those years there, I got kicked off the school bus, and I was about 13 miles out from home, 30 miles down a country road. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a faster way to get home. This is going to be a 3 or 4 hour walk. And I'm not sure that I want to walk that far. This is ridiculous. You see, some of y'all are thinking, man, that is a mean flipping bus driver, right? Like, kick a cute kid like Jesse off a bus. Like, not cool. Well, you see, moments earlier, we were going about 55 mile an hour down the highway, and I had thrown an apple out the window. And I know, still, you're like, that's a really poor excuse to kick a kid off a school bus. But you see, the apple at 55 mile an hour hit a bicyclist in the head. Knocked the poor son of a gun clean off his bike, like, boom. He didn't see it coming. He thought the hand of God came down there and just slapped him off his bike. He's like, what happened up in here? He woke up and there's some dude standing over him going, you all right, mate? What happened? He's like, I don't know. God kicked me off the bus. And anyway, this guy in the truck, he saw it happen. He saw the apple come out the window. He must have been Superman or something. And he saw it, and he gets chasing after the bus. You know, he's going nuts. He's revving. He's behind the bus. He's honking, 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 saying to the bus driver, pull over, pull over. Anyway, bus driver didn't pull over. So the guy comes around in front of the bus and locks up his brakes and forces the bus to pull over, comes to the bus door, and he's yelling and he's screaming and he's going ape at the bus driver. And the bus driver did what any guardian of 40 beautiful young children would do. He opened the door. Dude gets on the bus. Who threw the apple? Who threw that apple? And the whole bus betrayed me and goes, Newman. So the bus driver kicked me off the bus. Now you all think, man, great story. Where's the risk in that? Well, here's the thing. I didn't want to walk home. I thought it was a stupid idea. I thought I'd been wronged. You know, like, it's got to be okay to throw apples out windows. Like, man, how many laws are there going to be? Come on now. I want to throw my apple out the window. And I'm not walking home with my school bag in on my back. And I didn't want to wait on the side of the road for this crazy idiot in a truck to come back and get me. And so I looked at the bus, and I'm like, there's my answer. See, it was one of those old buses that had that metal bumper bar on the back. You know, it was about a foot deep, you know, those ones. And the buses at the same time, because they weren't thinking about silly kids like me, it had those handles on the back windows. You know, those ones that were up there so people can pull it out in an emergency. Well, I thought, there's my ride home. So I got on the back of the bus. I held onto those windows. Bus driver had no idea what was going on. A couple of people on the back seat did. And there's cars behind us, and they're just like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going home, you know? Like, this is what we're doing. Going 55 miles down the road. See, here's the thing. No cell phones back then, so ain't nobody calling the police, right? What are you going to do, like throw a rock at the bus? Come on, we just learned you don't throw things at people when you're driving. So that wasn't going to happen. There was no way to stop this bus. My favorite part of that whole day, if I can be honest, was when the bus got to my stop and I got off and I walked past the door and I'm like, see ya. To this day, the bus driver thinks I'm a magician. He's like, what? How'd that boy get there so fast? That kid can run. He's telling all the teachers, you got to get that guy on a track team. It's always been like that for me, though. Part of it because I was a little jerk, you know. Some of it was because of that. Some of it, though, was past tense, dude. I've gotten over that bit. Oh. Part of it, though, was because I was always looking for a way to have a better experience, right? I was always going, do you know what? I could walk home, or I could just get home and have a Vegemite sandwich in 15 or 20 minutes. And that seems like a better plan than walking out here on, you know, in 190 degrees heat in Australia, right? I made up the temperature, but it felt like that, okay? But see, what I realized as I'm preaching these messages, though, and I was thinking about this on Thursday morning, as I was preparing this message, I got to realizing not everybody takes risk like that. Do you know what I mean? Now, I don't jump on the back of buses still, but not everybody has a lifestyle where taking a risk just makes sense to them. Do you know what I'm saying? So I know that there are people in this room that are listening to that story going, I'd have done the same thing. And there's other people in the room looking at that and going, there's no way I would have even thought about it, let alone done it, right? Because we're all kind of different, and that's okay, that's okay. But when it comes to God, we all need to be in the habit of being willing to say that if God said something waits on the other side, that it is going to be worth it, all right? Now, whether you are used to taking risk or whether you have lived a life with a bit more sensibility than I did, no matter which one of those people we are, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the promises of God, we're all called to trust him. See, we're all called to believe that if he said, hang on the back of the bus, you won't fall off and you'll have a Vegemite sandwich, then we believe that that's what's going to happen, all right? Now, I'm not saying God told me to get on the back of the bus, by the way, right? But if God promises you something, we all, whether we're risk adverse or not, need to trust him and take the steps of faith. Everybody's wired different, but I know that if you can grasp the fact that God will never abandon you, that he will always do everything he promised you, then you'll be able to face a little bit of fear, take a step of faith, and see God's promises realized in your life. And that's what we want today. So I want to pray for you right now. If you wouldn't mind, just reach out your hands in faith. I'm going to pray for you. And move this. I like living on the edge. See, I even need my pulpit on the edge. All right. Heavenly Father, it's my prayer that you would so speak into the hearts of every man, every woman, every child in this room today, God, that they can trust you. That God, that you would open every eye to the wonder and the blessing that waits on the other side of obeying you, God, on the other side of a step of faith, on the other side of a little bit of risk in our lives. And help us all to know that every single thing you ever call us to do will bless us. That you will never call us to do something that will punish us, that will ruin us. But God, you are in the business of causing all things, everything to work together to bless and to benefit people who love you. Lord God, how much more the things that you tell us to do. God, I pray that during this message, that today that people would leave with a faith that says, I'm afraid, but I know God will be with me and he will do what he promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I encourage you to get the previous messages, right? MyEternity.com and click on sermons. You'll find them there. They're all about how God comes through, God answers prayers, and God responds to faith. But there's another perhaps more important type of risk that I want you to take today. And it's a risk that will bring healing, a risk that will bring support, and a risk that will bring wholeness into your life. See, all these other things are great, you know. They're all about taking ground. They're all about increasing. They're all about receiving what God wants for us in a sometimes material sense as well. But right now, today I want to talk to you about something that's going to bring you healing, about a type of risk that's going to bring you wholeness, about a type of risk that's going to give you the support that you need to have a victory in any area of your life. I want you to risk exposure. I want you to take a risk. Risk being embarrassed. Risk reputation or position to find wholeness, support, and healing. See, have you ever done something that when you were exposed, you just wanted to disappear? I don't know if you have or not. Some people don't get very embarrassed. Some people do. But I don't know if you've ever had an experience where as you were exposed, you were just overcome with shame. People weren't saying anything, but somehow you were receiving ridicule. Maybe they were ridiculing you, but all you wanted to do was hide and find a blanket to cover yourself up. Or is there currently something in your life that should we or others find out about, you would feel ashamed or even embarrassed? I don't want people to yell those out right now. Don't do that. You don't even have to put up your hand. But there might be something in some of our lives that right now, if people found out, we'd be ashamed, we'd be embarrassed. It's that old thing, you know, what if we put your life on the screen? How would you feel? I would probably slap the videographer really hard. Anybody else, right? Like, that's not cool, dude. And where'd you even get that video, you know? But honestly, like, if your life, if the most embarrassing things in your life, or if the current struggles you have, how would you feel? Have you recently been found out? Have you recently been exposed, ridiculed because of something you done, or maybe because of something that somebody else done? See, as we're thinking about that today, I want to tell you right now that you are welcome to be authentic in this house. This is your home. This is your home, all right? Now, I don't mean to be too funny, but at my home, my dad always felt like he's allowed to wander around in his jocks, all right? Close your eyes. Anyone else's dad do that, you know? Like, yeah, there's heaps of people saying, yeah, my dad did that too, you know? Like, I don't know why, but at our house, as soon as that door closed, dad felt like that clothing was optional. You just need jocks, right? Now, I want to tell you right now that outside of our house, my dad would have been embarrassed if that happened, right? Some of y'all are like, I know why you're so messed up, Jesse. Yeah, you're getting some ideas today, aren't you, right? But outside of the home, you would be embarrassed. I want to tell you, this is home. This is your home. Now, I do not want you exposing yourself like that in this home, but I want to tell you right now that the things that you've been too afraid to tell or show other people about your life, you are welcome to expose those things here in this house. You're welcome to be generous. Even if the genuine article is not as good as the picture that you've shown everybody, you're welcome here. Even if your sin or your habits have been rejected and ejected from other churches, you are and will be accepted in this place. Why? Because we, like God, take care of the embarrassed. All right? God loves his embarrassed people. Don't hear what I'm not saying. God does not love embarrassing people. God loves and protects embarrassed people. And we want to be like that too. Adam and Eve in the garden, they eat from the forbidden tree and become self-aware and embarrassed about their nakedness. Let's read it in Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. Come on, touch your neighbor, say naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together. Fig leaves fall apart, everybody. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, but God called out to the man, "Yo, dude, where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." Verse 21, "So the Lord made garments of skin," or garments of leather, "and for Adam and his wife, and God clothed them." The first time in all of Scripture that anybody was embarrassed, God covered them. Straight away. The first time that anybody was ashamed, God protected them. See, they sewed fig leaves together, which fell apart, obviously, because it said they were naked again. And then God made garments of leather for them. God has never stopped covering us when we're embarrassed or when we're ashamed of our own behavior or of our own abilities or lack of abilities. God is in the business of covering his people. God is in the business of taking care of you when you feel ashamed. That's good news, isn't it, church? Now, this reminds me of a clip from a movie. Let me paraphrase. This reminds me of a clip from a stupid movie that I watched many, many years ago. All right, I'm going to show you the video right now. All right, eyes up on the screen. It's from Billy Madison.
Well, I guess that's it. Okay, everybody, back on the bus. Hey, what's with Ernie?
I don't know. I'll be right back. Hey, Ernie. What's up?
Nothing.
You falling in love with the wall or something?
I had an accident.
You had an accident? What does that mean? Goo! Oh, I know. Okay. Don't worry, buddy. You hang tight. I'll be right back.
Hey, look, everybody. Billy peed his pants.
Of course I peed my pants. Everybody my age pees their pants. It's the coolest.
Really?
Yes, you ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
Wow.
Hey, man, Ernie pees pants too.
All right.
Cool. Oh, there you go. Anyway, bet you never thought you'd see that in church. But you know what? I don't even know why my brain works like this, but I'm there reading the Bible and that's what comes into my head. All right? Like, you know, it's all messed up. I want to tell you, you couldn't survive an hour in my head. All right? It would send you insane. Imagine living with me like my poor bride over here. I believe with all my heart that there is a movie line for every story on the earth. All right? And but here's why I love that. And I really did. Billy lowered himself, right? He lowered himself to protect and comfort this young man, Ernie. And now the little man feels free and open to turn around and expose himself covered in pee, because Billy made it okay to have pee your pants in this place and in that story. Now, it sounds funny, and you're like, "Is it? I don't even know how he's going to tie this into the Bible, but I'm going to hold on." Well, hold on, all right? I know it sounds funny, but hear me out. Billy lowered himself to lift up that young man, to lift up young Billy. I want to tell you, God lowered himself to lift you up. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, God on earth, sent him to earth to be like one of us, not so that he could relate to you, but so that you could relate to him. God came down as a baby wearing diapers, and I'm not trying to ridicule or mock God. It's an incredible act of humility for God to come down and need to wear a diaper as a baby so that we could relate to him, so that we could understand that God understands what we are going through. There's nothing that you've done that could make God abandon you. See, no matter how embarrassed you are, God is still with you. Amen. No matter how ashamed you are, God is not. God is not. You gotta listen to this. God is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of you. No matter how broken you are, he's not revolted by you. You are redeemable. You are helpable. You are lovable. In fact, not only is he not ashamed of you, I can do one better than that. Not only is God not ashamed of you, but he's actually coming to embrace you and lift you up. He's not afraid to be near you. He wants to have his arm around you and help you through what you're going through. The first sacrifice in Scripture was carried out by man. Sorry, was carried out by God, not man. See, when we all think about sacrifice in Scripture, we think about us making sacrifices to make up for our sin. I have sinned, now I have to kill one of my animals as punishment or as payment to cover my sin, all right? And so when we think about sacrifice in the Word of God, we often think about that. But we need to think about the first sacrifice that ever happened in the Word of God. How was and why was sacrifice introduced into the Bible? It was God killing a beast, sacrificing a beast to make garments of leather to cover our shame and embarrassment. That's where sacrifice was introduced in the Word of God. God killed the beast to make garments to cover our shame. This house of God is the safest place in Des Moines to be real and authentic about what you want to overcome. Sacrifice was introduced initially as something God was willing to do so for us, and he's still doing it. James 5:16 reads, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." You see, you need to be willing to expose your sin. You have to be willing to expose your brokenness. You have to be willing to risk the loss of position or reputation to find wholeness and healing that you so desperately want. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying again. I'm not saying that this confessing has anything to do with your salvation. Scripture doesn't say anything about that in salvation. To be saved, it says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you will be saved, all right? And so you are saved as you do that, okay? But here's the thing. But if we want to get traction, if we want to find wholeness, if we want to overcome some struggle that's tearing us apart, you need to know that God designed you to need community like you need oxygen. It's a part of your blueprint, all right? See, you need oxygen. God designed you that way. Block your nose and cover your mouth and you will die, all right? It's the same. Your body needs oxygen. Your soul needs community. You've been designed that way. And when you're in community, when you're in a community that you can be honest and authentic and genuine without fear of punishment or repercussion, you can find people who will pray for you and encourage you and help you and lift you up. God designed us to need each other. Is this all right? Is this all right? Good. Praise God. I feel like it is, all right? I'm hoping that the quietness comes from thinking and not a lack of amening, all right? Come on, someone say amen. Help me. Good, good, good. We need to feel free to be real in God's house. For the church to function how God designed it, you've got to be able to say, I have not been doing a good job of this or of that, and I need your help, and I need your prayer. And a godly church will never respond with ridicule. A godly church will never, ever respond with shame. If you know me long enough, you know three words I hate the most are shame on you, all right? I mean it. I hate that more than I hate you or I hate this. You know these sentences the kids say? I can deal with that, but don't say shame on you. A believer should be on a mission to eradicate shame and eradicate the words shame on you out of your vocabulary. You see someone did something on TV and we say for shame or shame on them. We should never say that. God died on a cross to release people of shame, and a believer should never put it back on them. Amen. And so there will never be a shame on response in a godly church. You won't be gossiped about. The response in this house will be modeled after the example that God himself set for us. We will cover you. We'll cover you in prayer. We'll cover you in love. Will cover you in grace, cover you in hope and in faith. So don't be ashamed. When you take the risk of exposing the real issue, you're going to find the wonder and healing and victory very, very soon. Have you all heard of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a little dude in New Testament. I want to encourage you to just look that up, Google that, read that. It's an incredible story. And he risked being exposed to get a new life. He went and climbed a tree to see Jesus because he couldn't see past anybody. See, something in his heart told him that every little thing was going to be all right if he could meet with Jesus. So in spite of his sin, in spite of his shame, and in spite of the devil trying to hold him back, something told him that if he comes to Jesus, everything will be made whole. And so he took the risk. You got to read the story, all right? Like I said, Google it, read it. But the general gist is he risked position, he risked power, but God gave him a far better life than he ever had before. He was ashamed, he was embarrassed. Maybe you're ashamed and embarrassed. God still takes care of the embarrassed, just like Zacchaeus and just like Adam and Eve. So stop being ashamed of yourself. Stop it. Shame is the devil's poison. Stop being ashamed of yourself. Refuse it. Stop being ashamed of your sin. Probably didn't think you'd ever hear that in church either, did you? Stop being ashamed of your sin. See, almost every sin is a misplaced, God-given desire. You're really not so disgusting. You really can share it. You can ask for help without being ashamed in this house. Have you been committing adultery? Why are you so ashamed of yourself? That's not the feeling that God wants you to have. God covers the ashamed. Adultery is simply a misplaced God-given desire for intimacy with someone of the opposite sex. You were designed to want that. You're not disgusting, but you have misplaced what God has put in your heart. God designed you with a desire for intimacy and for connection. You're really not a terrible person, but you can stop what you're doing. You can get help and you can be healed. This is a safe place to say, this has been a problem for me. Murder, misplaced God-given anger. Lying, misplaced desire to be worthy. Greed, a misplaced desire to increase. See, God said, subdue the earth and increase. God put a desire in us to increase. Stealing and greed, these are just misplaced desires to increase. Porn, a misplaced God-given desire for sexual pleasure. Bitterness, a misplaced desire for justice. You're not a terrible person. Come on, touch your neighbor, look him in the eye. You ain't terrible, tell him. You are not a terrible person. Your desires and God-given talents may have been misplaced or even abused, but you can be healed. You can expose it. You can allow God and God's people in this house to pray for you that you may find healing and blessing in Jesus' name. Now, I want to end it with this. The first sacrifice in the Word of God was God making a sacrifice to cover us in our embarrassment. And He still does. Thank you, God. But the last sacrifice in the Bible was still God. God bookended the Bible with His own sacrifices. What I love about that is I was able to read books in Year 12 English. I'd read the first bit, and I'd read the last bit, and then I'd listen real careful as everybody else gave their oral presentations. And then I'd ace mine immediately afterwards. I want to tell you right now, the Word of God's a little bit like that in regard to sacrifice. You don't need to worry about the sacrifices in the middle. All you need to know about is the first one and the last one, and you'll know everything you need to know. God started the process to cover us in our embarrassment and shame, and He ended the process to set us free, and to give us hope and wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last sacrifice in the Bible was God sacrificing God, His own position. You don't have to lose yours. He sacrificed comfort in heaven, so stop stressing about yours. He can take care of it. He sacrificed His own wholeness so that you and I can be made whole, so that we can be forgiven, so we can be set free. The first and last sacrifices in the Word of God was God sacrificing for us. Everything is going to be all right. Come on, church, would you stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise if you believe that? Everything is going to be all right. If your sin has brought you shame, that's the devil. God's the shame breaker, amen. If failure or inadequacy is bringing you shame, today is the day that God designed before time began to set you free. If you've been projecting an image that's a lie, feel free to expose the truth today. Because this, as the old song goes, because this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. I can picture it, God in heaven, creating you and designing today. He put today in your blueprint. He said, I'm going to get them there. They're going to come. So-and-so is going to hassle them to get there, but they're going to get there. And that's the day that they're going to find out that there is, as Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've all given our lives to Jesus in here. 11 people earlier on, and the rest of us in the weeks and years preceding. So we're all in Christ Jesus. Shame is not allowed in this room. Shame is not allowed in this room. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. Condemnation, shame, and ridicule be gone in Jesus' name. You can tell the truth in this place. You can tell everybody. You can tell somebody. You can tell your neighbor, I need prayer because I'm trying to get a breakthrough in this and this and this. And there is no condemnation in this place in Jesus' name. None. None. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. I'm going to walk off this. I'm really nearly done. The people on my left over here, they're going to all make space for you. They'll move over here or they'll step back. But my team is going to pray for you. And I need you to know it right now. No condemnation. Not a thing that you say at this altar will be repeated in a staff meeting. It won't be repeated to me. Someone won't come up and go, Pastor Jesse, did you hear what so-and-so said? No. No. It will be between you and them. The only way it'll get repeated is if you tell them, can you get the team praying for me? Can you get so-and-so praying for me? No, we will not repeat, and we will not shame, and we will not ridicule, and we will not tell your spouse or your boss or the IRS. We won't tell anybody, amen? This is the safe place. There is therefore now no condemnation for you, because you're in Christ Jesus. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice. You're about to be set free. Come on, come down the front for prayer. God bless you. Give the Lord a shout of praise. It's breakthrough day.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.